My guest today is Michael Collier. Michael, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being on my show.
Oh, my pleasure.
What do you do for a living?
I'm the Windows Azure National Architect for Nudesic, and I'm also a Windows Azure MVP. So I get to work with customers all across the country on their Windows Azure projects.
You are entirely 100% focused on the cloud.
Entirely, yeah. It's, that's what I'm involved in all the time. Every day it's Windows Azure. It's awesome.
Some big changes going on in Windows Azure right now. It's moving a lot faster than Microsoft has historically moved with some of their other products.
Yeah, you get updates of Windows Azure and any cloud platform on a monthly basis, it seems like. You know, Azure's been, you know, a couple times a year has big updates to it. We just had a major update in June, first part of June, unleashed a lot of new, really cool features that really rounded out the platform.
Let's talk about those. What are some of the really cool features?
Probably the biggest ones people will find attractive is Windows Azure Websites and Windows Azure Virtual Machines. They're probably two new technical features of it, and they also released a new portal to really kind of surface some of that new information they have available.
All right, well, let's start with the portal, because I think that's the first thing people will see. What's different about that?
This new portal, the kind of the preview portal, is an HTML-based portal. So instead of the previous or the current Silverlight portal that they have, there's now an HTML-based portal. So you can work with it from virtually any device. So I have like my iPad, I could manage my Windows Azure applications from my iPad if I want, and also works great on a PC, obviously, as well. So the new portal shows off Windows Azure Websites and Windows Azure Virtual Machines. Also gives you access to the existing Windows Azure platform services like cloud services and SQL database as well.
Okay. I saw a demo of websites recently. That sounded pretty cool. What's going on with that?
The idea behind Windows Azure Websites is really make it very fast and easy for people to deploy applications to the cloud. So I can have an application up and running in literally seconds if I want. It can be a PHP app, a classic ASP, ASP.NET, Node.js app up. Write it, just push it to Windows Azure. I can push it there using Git or FTP or TFS, web deploy. It's real easy to create an app and push it. Really, I don't have to make any changes. There's no cloud specific changes. So it's a very easy development model and a very easy deployment model as well.
Yeah, you mentioned one thing that's been around a while, but I don't think people are really, it's really sunk with people is that you said PHP apps on Windows Azure, that these are all supported as part of the platform.
Yeah, anything that runs on IIS today, we're running with Windows Azure Websites. So it makes it very easy to work with in the cloud if you want to go that route.
One of the things that excited me was the idea that they had these templates that I could create, for example, a WordPress site, and just immediately deploy it to the cloud. And then I get up and running with a new blog or whatever it is I want to do with WordPress or .NET Nuke, or there were a whole bunch of templates.
Yeah, they have several templates kind of provided by Microsoft partners that make them available. Like WordPress is probably the one of the common ones you see in a lot of examples. I want to get a WordPress site up and running. You could obviously create a WordPress site today with Windows Azure Cloud Services and a traditional web role, but it's a little more work to get it going. I had to take a few more steps to get WordPress installed and MySQL going. Now with Windows Azure Websites, it's basically create a new project, say, in the portal. I want to go ahead and do a WordPress site. They take care of spinning up the MySQL piece for you, get it all ready to go, and then you, in a couple seconds later, have the standard WordPress start page. And just configure your blog that way. So it's very easy for WordPress sites, like you said, .NET Nuke, Joomla, I think, is on there. Umbraco has some stuff, Orchard, a lot of different CMS platforms. I think we'll see more partners kind of come into that gallery feature with Windows Azure Websites as Windows Azure Websites gets closer to availability, hopefully sometime this year.
Yeah, so these are all in beta right now.
Yeah, it's a preview mode right now. So people, Microsoft's really looking to get some feedback from people to see what people like about it, what they don't like about it, and then constantly be updating that, hopefully, as they kind of continue to refine the product.
You preemptively answered one of my questions, which is what's the difference between the web roles that currently exist in Windows Azure and this idea of websites? And you said one of the reasons is that it's the websites are just simpler. They're quicker to get up and running. What are some of the other differences?
I think the biggest difference is the level of control and customization you have. And Windows Azure Websites are very easy for some very basic websites to get going on there, ASP.NET, whatever kind of site you want. They're very easy to get going, but you don't have a lot of control and customization. I can't remote desktop into that server. I can't customize IIS. I can't do a lot of things to the underlying infrastructure or the underlying platform, really. Windows Azure Cloud Services with web roles gives me that ability, or if I need to change IIS features or I want to remote desktop into the server, I have that level of customization, level of control. So it's really kind of about how much customization control you want. You now have the ability to really kind of pick what fits your problem best.
Can I start with websites and then when I need, until I need that control, and then migrate to web roles?
Definitely, yeah. You can start with a website, kind of prove out your application. Maybe it's a proof of concept type thing, and then when your app grows, maybe you need a little more more advanced features, then I could easily, you know, take that application and convert it into a Windows Azure web role and deploy it that way.
I noticed one of the limitations was that I can't point technologyandfriends.com to a Windows Azure website. I'm not sure what the reason is for that, but I know that's a limitation. Is that always going to be a limitation?
That's a limitation with the shared instances of websites. They're shared and reserved. If I have a reserved instance, then I could have my vanity URL point to Windows Azure websites as well. I didn't think they had a lot of feedback on that, so I'll be curious to see if they change that offering as they get closer. I know that's, I would imagine that's one of the kind of differentiators between the free product and a paid product is maybe how you handle vanity URLs. So we'll see how that comes out as they kind of get closer to
define those terms, the shared instance and the reserved instance. What is that? What's the difference?
Yeah, with shared instances, you're kind of playing in a multi-tenant type of environment. You know, michaelcollier.com and Technology and Friends could be on the same servers behind the scenes. We really know it, but it's not really designed for high performance or performance intensive type of applications. I'm sharing that infrastructure with somebody else. If I go to reserved instances, I have a certain size virtual machine that I want. So maybe I need more RAM or more CPU for them, and I can have those boxes all to myself. Those virtual machine instances really all. So the sizes are very similar to a web role in the traditional Azure model, you know, from extra small to large. So if I need more horsepower, if I just need more of them virtual machines, I can go running a full instance of Windows Server 2008 with SQL 2012 on it. I can run Linux operating systems as well. So running
non-Microsoft stuff again.
If you want to run non-Microsoft technologies as an operating system, Microsoft has their partners out there. If I want to run those systems, they're totally, you know, they say, hey, go ahead and run it in Windows Azure. We support that technology. So if I need a server, I want all sorts of control on that, and I want persistent disk, which is probably the biggest feature of virtual machines, is a persistent storage. Mm-hmm. I now have that ability, so I could install things like SharePoint or SQL Server on a Windows in Windows Azure, where previously it really wasn't a good idea to do that.
So what you're talking about is infrastructure as a service, as opposed to where they put most of their money up to now, is in this platform as a service.
Exactly, yeah. So now Windows Azure has an infrastructure as a service offering that they have available, so now I can really kind of, you know, figure out what fits my solution the best, what I want to do, is infrastructure where I want to go. I have some really nice benefits, obviously, to infrastructure as a service, the customization and control of it. I still have more burden on me, right? I have to manage that operating system, manage that platform and the runtime. Some people love that, and it fits perfectly well for their solution. Others, they don't want to have to deal with that type of stuff. And in that case, you know, maybe I look at platform as a service as a way to go, and I really take my application, take advantage of what the platform has to offer.
Yeah, it's no secret that Amazon has really dominated that IaaS, infrastructure as a service space, mm-hmm. for the last few years. They're the first to market with it, as far as I know, and their EC2 is really known. This is really a direct response to that, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think Amazon, like you said, really did set the stage and set the market in some ways. They've done a really good job with that offering. Platform as a service, you can make the argument that maybe it was ahead of its time. I think, you know, they released platform as a service thinking people would maybe come to that, and I don't think maybe people jumped into that as quickly as Microsoft thought they might have. So I think this is a way to say, hey, we have both of these offerings now. You can get into the platform, see what it can do, and when your apps, you know, especially for infrastructure as a service, works great for migrating existing applications to Windows Azure, right? Because I don't have to really do anything. I can forklift that application into the platform.
Right.
Platform as a service for existing apps can be more difficult to get into the platform, because I may have to change some code to really make it work with the way the platform works. Mm-hmm. And so for existing apps, platform as a service can be a little more difficult. If I'm writing a new application, start from scratch, a total greenfield app, I take a serious look at platform as a service. Right. Because I now don't have to deal with some of that. I don't have that legacy baggage to kind of bring with me. I can really go, hey, here's this platform that offers me high availability and redundancy and scalability. And I don't have to manage that platform or manage those platform infrastructure features. I say, hey, I just need, you know, highly available storage and massive scalability, and the platform gives me that.
Okay. So let's see, the name of this feature is Azure Virtual Machines, correct?
Correct, yep.
There's already something called VM roles, and the VM stands for Virtual Machines. What's the difference between VM roles and Azure Virtual Machines?
That's a good question. Virtual Machine, VM roles, is still fits in that platform as a service area with Windows Azure. So you have web roles, worker roles, and VM roles. VM roles are really designed as a way for people who had Windows Azure web roles and worker roles that wanted that same stuff but couldn't install some of their features on it. Maybe their install process was too manual. That was very complicated to install. So VM roles gave people the ability to go in and get those apps up and running. But the limitation it has, like all platform as a service offerings, web roles, work roles, VM roles, it has a non-persistent disk. So my virtual machine disk goes away. I have the right to blob storage or something like that to make it persist. With virtual machines, I now have a fully customizable version of Windows Server 2008 if I want. And it has a persistent disk to it. So anytime I want to make a change to the underlying disk, I save that stuff, save a new file, save to my C drive, it's going to be there across reboots or across recycles of the instance, which is, I think, the big feature, allowing me to take on server products like SharePoint and SQL Server and Active Directory, which people want to run in the cloud, but you couldn't because SharePoint writes to disk, right? Active Directory writes to disk and needs persistent disk.
Okay. The idea that the data that you store today is going to be there tomorrow, guaranteed. That's a big feature. But also the idea that you could install something like SharePoint on it, or I know there are templates. There's a SharePoint template that you
exactly.
could just start up with that and then customize it as you want as well.
Yeah, I think they'll be coming out with more of those. There's definitely a SQL Server one out there for SQL Server 2012 that makes it really nice to go out there. So if I just want Windows Server with a SQL Server 2012 on it. File basically the gallery say, yep, I want that image straight from Microsoft. They maintain those images, they'll handle all the patching for those. You have a pretty well current version of the operating system available for your library. You can go in there custom, and then once you have all that set up, maybe you've made some changes to IIS and made some changes to SQL Server for that instance, you could save it and keep that as in your image gallery. So if I want to create future mm-hmm. versions of that, it makes it really easy. I don't have to go through that whole customization process
sure.
again. It's a gallery of my image ready to go.
Nice. So this stuff is in preview mode today. If I'm a Windows subscriber, will I automatically see this new portal and these new features today?
Great point. Yeah. So it's in preview mode today. I can get the portal today. Just go out to manage.azure.com, I think. Or just go to.
That's a different URL. So usually I go to Azure.
WindowsAzure.com.
Windows.azure.com.
Okay. Yeah. I can get to the portal just by going to the WindowsAzure.com and clicking sign in, and it'll take me to the preview portal. And then from the preview portal, I could jump to the current portal, the Silverlight-based one. Hmm. But to get access to Windows Azure...
Actually, by default, it must be something in cookies, because by default, I go back to the old Silverlight one when I sign in.
Okay.
It must be saving some preferences on your machine.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah. Either way, you should be able to jump between them if you want, because certain features are only available in the preview portal, like virtual machines and websites.
Okay.
And certain things are only in the current Silverlight-based portal as well. They're not totally 100% married together feature-wise. So I think over these next several months, as Microsoft continues to mature the portal, you'll see more of the current platform features, like access control services and service bus, hopefully be making their way into the preview portal as they continue to show.
Yeah, you need to jump back and forth in order to fully manage your site.
Jump back and forth a little bit, but it is still in preview mode, so I think they work as they continue to mature that. You'll see that. But you have to get back to your original question on accessing these new features. You have to go into your subscription in Windows Azure in your account management section and actually apply or really opt in to them. So if you have a Windows Azure subscription today, you don't by default have virtual machines and websites enabled. You have to go in and say, I forget what the button is, like activate this feature. So they kind of are slowly onboarding people into it. From what I've seen and heard, the activation process happens pretty quickly. But they're kind of slowly adding in more people to the program while they continue to test it out, make sure it can handle, and kind of figure out the load and usage of the system.
Oh, okay. So that's probably why I don't see the new portals, because I haven't clicked those setting buttons.
That may be
okay.
It, yeah.
And then there's no guarantee just because you select it, you have to wait for them to have room for it or scale up to it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I've been seeing. Yeah, a Windows Azure website seems to turn on pretty quick. I see people get activated on those within hours. I think virtual machines may take a little bit longer, but I wouldn't imagine it's a huge delay for to get into that program. So Windows Azure websites, virtual machines, and the new Windows Azure Media Services are the three preview features that they have that you had to opt into.
What's Media Services?
Media services is, I think, a really promising technology. It's going to give you the ability to transcode video kind of as a service, basically media as a service. If I wanted to do video transcoding, encoding, smooth streaming type of stuff, mm-hmm. I have my digital source. I can just upload that digital source to Windows Azure, tell them what format I want that to be in. They create a job and say, okay, we're going to use Windows Azure services and just kind of convert that format, your source, into whatever destination or destinations you want and give you that back out again. So really kind of giving you the ability for anybody to have basically just dumb computers, right, to do media work, mm-hmm. basically CPU intensive work,
yeah.
And now you have with Azure just right basically infinite scale on computers. They have a bunch of servers. Do that. Maybe you work for you, and here's the video ready to go if you want to use that again.
This sounds really appealing to a guy who happened to have an online TV show and a limited budget. For example,
if you have that sort of stuff, now you have those type of features available to you. Because really, you know what video encoding you want. Just say, hey, go ahead and do this work for me, and I'll come pick it up tomorrow morning. Spin off before I go to bed, and I'll pick it up in the morning when it's done.
Very cool. Any word on when these features will go out of preview and actually become real features?
No, I mean, Microsoft will probably tell you it's when it's done, when it's ready. I would assume sometime late this year. It came out in June. I would assume 6 months is a reasonable time. 5 to 6 months is reasonable.
They have been pretty fast with their release cycles.
Yeah, I don't think it'll stay in perpetual beta. VMworld's been in beta for a long time. Yeah, I would assume that these new features are going to get out of it pretty quickly because a lot of people like them. There's a very positive response, I think, from the community on these features, and I think they are just waiting now for those for the SLAs to get in place so they can, now I can run production apps because now Microsoft has a financially backed SLA on them.
Okay. Anything else?
I think people should go out, sign up Windows Azure, try it out. You get a trial. You can get a free 90-day trial. It's real easy to get signed up on it. Try out the features. Test out websites. Test out virtual machines. Look at the portal and hit that provide feedback button. Let Microsoft know what you like, what you don't like. I think they have been very responsive to people on taking in that feedback as they kind of work through it. They wanted to make sure that people have a really good platform to work on, and this is a great way to see what they're looking at.
You have an online presence?
Yeah, if you want to stay up with me, I'm on Twitter at Michael Collier, and I have pretty much a Windows Azure focused blog at michaelscollier.com.
Michael, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you. I'd encourage people to get involved in their technology community as much as possible. Events like CodeMash and that conference are a great way to meet new friends, meet people of similar interest, and really just kind of stay up to date on the latest technology from all sorts of people from all over the country.